Okay, this morning we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to tell you the title in a minute, but vamos a estar hoy, hermanos, en 1 Timoteo capítulo 3. 1 Timoteo capítulo 3. Back in March, I gave a two-part sermon, and it was in lieu of the fact that we were going to vote in deacons and elders, but it was mostly on deacons, okay? Because God has always looked building us up to become His servants, right? La semana hace en marzo, hermanos, di un mensaje de dos partes de acerca de el diaconado, ¿verdad? Y sabiendo que íbamos un día a votar para recibir nuevos diáconos y ancianos, back then, we saw first Jesus' teaching on the greatness of servants, the greatness of servants, and those would eventually materialize into positions even in the church as deacons, okay? Once the church was born, deacons would be appointed. But Jesus was already preaching about anybody who serves, okay? Serves others and puts them before themselves is great in the kingdom of God, is greater than him who does not serve, in other words. Y miramos también como Jesús enseñó que la grandeza de los que son siervos de Dios, ¿verdad? Que un día serían titulizados como diáconos en la iglesia. Pero cualquier persona que sirve a otros, en el nombre de Jesús, va a ser grande en el reino de Dios, va a ser grande. And then the next week after that one, we went to Acts chapter 6, and we talked about the great need for deacons. And that was a good message. I went back there and heard it myself again. I said, ooh, that was good. But no, it was the content. Not the delivery, maybe, but the content, okay? Y luego, la segunda semana, miramos la gran necesidad de diáconos en Hechos capítulo 6. En Hechos capítulo 6, yo regresé a oír el mensaje en el internet y me gustó el contenido de todo, de ese mensaje. Fue muy animoso. And man, that would make me want to become a deacon. Going back there and just listening to Acts chapter 6 and why it's so important. Why the church needs deacons. Miramos qué tan grande la necesidad que una importante que una iglesia tenga diáconos. You can always go back, brothers. Go back in the internet and there's a list there on the playlist and just scroll back to anywhere you want to go. But this is a great message too. A great message. And that's on the church website. It's in your bulletin. But today, I never got a chance to preach on elders, okay, and their qualifications. And today, we're going to do that. No me tocó a mí, por varios veces hasta este punto, predicar sobre la necesidad de ancianos o líderes espirituales. Y eso es lo que vamos a ver hoy, las calificaciones. ¿Qué dice la palabra de Dios acerca de ser líder espiritual? No solo en la iglesia, pero también en la casa. So we're going to look today, what does the Bible say about a spiritual leader in the home and at church? See, it's not just for elders, it's for everybody, okay, whom they have charge over. Say your children. Mom and dad, you can be a spiritual leader in your home over your children, yeah? Over your children. Y así también esposo y esposa pueden ser líder espiritual en su propia casa, sobre sus hijos, para dirigirlos a ellos. So I'd like you, as we go through it, don't say, well, this is for elders. I'm not an elder, so I'm not even going to listen. This is what God is looking for, first of all, and everybody who's following Jesus and maturing. This is the goal to become these things, okay? And so you should look at it. This is what God wants for me, even if I don't become an elder. This is what God wants for me. This is what God's going to reward. Entonces, no digan ustedes, bueno, yo no voy a ser anciano, ni siquiera le voy a poner atención a este mensaje. No, hermanos, estas características que vamos a ver es para todos los hermanos. Porque de ahí es donde saca el Señor ancianos, ¿verdad? Porque ya existen estas características. No se forman en el diaconado o en la oficina de ancianos, ya se forman en su crecimiento diario. Ahí se forman estas características. So understand, these characteristics are formed in your daily walk with the Lord. They're not formed in the office once you reach the office of deacon or elder or whatever. They're formed in your daily walk with the Lord. So it applies to you and me. Esto se aplica para ti y para mí. So let's go to the first one. Let's look at just elders for now. Vamos a ver nomás ancianos por ahorita. And we're going to look at the in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Vamos a estar en 1 Timoteo capítulo 3. 1 Timoteo capítulo 3. I left a lot of blanks there in your bulletin sheet. If you're going to follow along and fill them in, there's all those blanks. You can fill them in as we go. Les dejé muchos blancos. 16 blancos son las características. Y usted puede rellenar mientras vamos, porque ahí están en la Biblia. Aquí está en la pantalla. So this is Paul telling Timothy, this is, if you're going to appoint elders and deacons, this is what they need in their life so that they qualify. Okay? Y estas son las características que se requiere de un hombre para ser un anciano. Now, let's start at verse 2. Vamos a empezar versículo 2. An overseer must be above reproach. That's the first characteristic. Primeramente dice un obispo, o otra palabra es anciano. Depende de la traducción. Un obispo debe ser, pues, irreprochable. Que no tenga cosas en su vida que resalta como feo, que resalta como mal, que resalta como pecaminoso. Yeah? When you say above reproach, means that there's nothing that you can reproach him about his life that's glaringly wrong, glaringly sinful, glaringly, offensive or questionable. He's irreproachable. He's trying to follow Jesus and imitate Jesus. Él está tratando de seguir a Jesús y imitar a Jesús en su vida. So that's the first thing. That's something God wants for you and me. Es lo que Dios quiere para ti y para mí. Que no tengamos cosas en la vida que alguien nos puede hacer el reproche. O esto no está bien en tu vida. Mira lo que estás haciendo. We should be living a life that nobody can reproach us about. Okay? So you know what? That is wrong what you're doing to me. This is what you're saying to me. Or how you're treating this person. You should be irreproachable. In your marriage, in your friendships, in your employment. Yeah? Y no debe de haber ninguna clase de reproche en tu matrimonio, en tus relaciones, como empleado de una compañía. No debe de haber algo que te puedan reprochar a ti. Okay? What's the second one? Oops, let's go back. I'm going up first. The second, the husband of one wife. That's the second one. Y luego que sea marido de una sola mujer. De una sola mujer. Yes, in those days, it was not against the law to have more than one wife. But if you're going to be an elder or a deacon, you had to be a one-woman man. Okay? A one-woman man. En esos días, claramente, no era ilegal tener más de una esposa. En aquellos días, en Roma o Jerusalén, en esas áreas. Pero si ibas a ser un anciano o un diácono, debe ser esposo de una sola mujer. Very important, bro. And not just on the outside, but also in your heart. Also in your heart. No nomás por fuera, por el exterior, pero también tu corazón, que seas tú esposo de una sola mujer. Que no tengas ojos para otras. That you're not looking at other women. That you have one wife that you love. Tienes una esposa que ama. Now we start seeing here, brothers, that the indication that it didn't say the wife of one husband, because you're going to see that this position is for men only. It's for men only. Vamos a razonar que está hablando aquí solo de varones que pueden tomar esta posición. No dijo que una esposa de un solo hombre. No, un hombre de una sola. La posición de anciano, de pastor, de obispo, es para los varones en el Nuevo Testamento. It's a position for men. Spiritual leadership of the church. It's a position for men, not for women. You go to 2 Timothy 3:12, I think it says, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. There it is. What's the pulpit doing? Teaching and exercising authority, spiritual authority over others and men. Muy claro. Si sigues en este capítulo, 1 Timoteo 3:12, yo creo que ahí dice, pero yo no permito que una mujer ejercita autoridad, enseñe o ejercite autoridad sobre un varón. ¿Por qué? Es para los varones. Es para los varones. So in this church, you will not see women preaching because we want to obey the word. Entonces miramos aquí claramente que no, que aquí está enseñando que no vamos a ver una mujer predicando a la congregación porque queremos obedecer la palabra. So it goes on, temperate. He must be temperate. Y debe de ser templado o sobrio aquí. And temperate means that you don't have excesses so that they mess up your life or your decisions, the ability to make decisions and to think. Eso también de ser sobrio quiere decir que estás, que no estás en cosas que son demasiado en tu vida que afectan tu habilidad de pensar y hacer decisiones. ¿Eh? So eres, es sobrio. Después va a hablar de vino. Later it'll talk about wine, okay? But it's other things that can be an excess in your life. You're balanced. You don't let things get out of hand. Estás balanceado en todo lo que haces y no deja que tome control de tu vida. So, and also then it goes on to say, not just temperate, but prudent, okay? No solo templado, pero también prudente. Prudent means he's wise. And he wants you to be wise. He wants me to be wise in all the things that I do. Not just go by my feelings, yeah? But go by what is right. And if you don't know what is right or wrong, then that's what the Word of God is for, especially moral things. What is right and wrong, how to treat people, how to do things that are right, how to relate to your government, how to relate to your boss, and everything. It's all in the Word of God. Entonces, todo, si no sabes qué es bueno y lo malo, porque ahí recibimos prudencia, ¿verdad? Saber qué es lo bueno y lo malo. La palabra de Dios nos enseña. Búscala en la palabra y ahí hallarás si algo es, la decisión que vas a hacer es bueno o malo. No te vayas por tus sentimientos. Los sentimientos muy raramente están igual a la palabra de Dios. Los sentimientos. Cuidado. Que sean dirigidos por la verdad. And then it goes on, respectable. Yeah? Y luego dice también, de conducta decorosa. Conducta o respetuoso, podemos decir, es otra palabra. Respectable. The person is worthy of respect. Es digno de respeto. And we should be worthy of respect wherever we go. At work, in my neighborhood, in the store, where if I'm shopping, I should be acting in such a way that I give respect, I probably will receive respect. Una persona respetuosa, la razón que recibe respeto es porque está dando respeto. Habla respetuosamente. Y así tenemos que nosotros ser una persona respetuosa. No, and you know, and especially while you're driving, brothers, it's hard to be respectful because people don't know how to drive. So. También cuando estamos en el manejando un carro, ¿ya? Es duro dar respeto a otro chofer porque no sabe cómo manejar. Pero aún, hermanos, ahí está el reto. That is where the challenge is, bro. We need to not go into road rage, but be respectful. Y debemos de dar respeto a otros, especialmente cuando estamos manejando, ¿verdad? Porque ahí es donde muchas veces, bueno, no me puede hacer nada y me voy a enojar. No, hermanos. Dios está sentado ahí. Ahí está Jesús, un lado. Jesus is sitting next to it. We got to remember that. We got to remember that. So, and the next one is hospitable. Yeah? Hospitable. Y el siguiente, que es el número 6, es hospitalario. Un líder espiritual debe ser hospitalario. He knows how to invite someone over and to minister, to feed, to talk, to encourage. Sabe cómo invitar a alguien, podemos decir, a su casa y tener comida con ellos, ¿verdad? A platicar y animar. Hospitality is also practiced in the church. Y hospitalario también se practica en la iglesia. Es como recibimos a los nuevos, que se sientan cómodos, como que están en casa. And if you're doing it in the church, is you help others, especially new people, come in and feel comfortable, like they're at home, okay? Like they're not in the way or putting us off in any way. No, brothers, we got to be hospitable to our new people. And so that's something we grow in. Tenemos que crecer en esta área todos nosotros. When I was single, I didn't have a home. Hey, let me go take you out and have breakfast. Or let's go have coffee together. It's on me. It started in something simple like that. And then it just grows the more you have and own and into more bigger things, okay? you have crowds coming over eventually. Yeah? Yo cuando era soltero empecé a practicar el hospitalario, ser hospitalario, simplemente decirle a un amigo, oye, porque yo vamos a un café, yo lo pago. Y ahí empezó. Vamos a un hamburger. Y luego va creciendo, entre más tenemos y más grande se hace el grupo también. We have to grow in this area. Tenemos de crecer en esta área, todos nosotros. Abraham, if he hadn't grown in hospitality, he would have never invited Jesus and the two angels to sit down and have lunch with him. Say, hey guys, how you doing? All right, yeah, well, have a good day. See you later. Yeah. They would have went right by him. But he had a hospitable heart. Si Abraham no hubiera crecido en el ser hospitalario, nunca hubiera invitado a Jesús y los dos ángeles que vinieron a visitarlo un día y se hubieran ido de paso. Ay, ¿cómo está? Dios los bendiga. Que le vaya bien el camino. Ahí se hubieran ido. Pero él, no, quédense aquí. Van a tomar agua, a descansar. Le voy a hacer unos tacos. Y no. Y tuvieron una bendición grande. We all got to grow being hospitable. What's the next one? Here it is. Able to teach. This is the one that... This is different from the deacons. The deacons are almost the same as this, but they're not required to be able to teach. A spiritual leader in the church needs to be able to teach. Okay? Y esta, la séptima, es apto para enseñar. Es un requisito que no se le pide al diácono, pero sí se le pide al anciano o al pastor, que pueda ser apto para enseñar. Now understand, he didn't say, great at teaching. Good at teaching. It didn't say that. It said able to teach because he's going to grow and become good and eventually great at teaching once he's given that responsibility. Okay? So don't worry. Well, I'm not good at teaching. Well, you're able to teach. You're qualified. Yeah? Entonces, no dice que sea bueno para enseñar, que sea maravilloso para enseñar, pero que sea apto porque él va a desarrollarse en esa área. Se va a desarrollar y va a enseñar y va a predicar mejor. So that's an important part, okay, of being an elder, is that he is able to teach. He's able to teach. He can be trained to teach better even, okay? Verse 3 now. Estamos en el versículo 3. And he is not to be addicted to wine. There it is. Not to be addicted to wine. Y no debe ser dado a la bebida. A la bebida. He's a person that he shouldn't love to drink, or else he doesn't qualify. No debe ser le encantarse la bebida a él. What I put down in mine is not addicted. Okay. Because they have all kinds of stuff today that's not wine that people get addicted to. Okay. So if you're going to be a spiritual leader, he can't be addicted to anything that compromises his thinking, his decisions. He can't be addicted to anything. Y siendo que en aquellos días no tenían la marihuana, no tenían las drogas, la cocaína, las píldoras y todo eso. Por eso yo le puse ahí, no adicto a nada. No solo al vino, pero a nada que vaya a interrumpir su habilidad de pensar y hacer decisiones. That's what we got. Are you addicted to anything? ¿Estás tú adicto a algo ahorita? Is there anything that you can't? You got to have every day, or at least once a week or something like that. Coffee over here. Yes, I can go without it. If there's no coffee, I'll go without it. Yes. But I won't rob a liquor store to get it. Okay. yo sí estoy adicto al café, quizás podamos decir porque yo lo tomo todo el día, ¿ya? Yeah? No todo el día, pero todos los días. Pero no afecta mi habilidad de pensar. Y hacer decisiones. Good thing about coffee, it doesn't affect the way I make decisions, okay? Or to think. That's the difference, really. So we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Doesn't matter if you're not a spiritual leader. Don't be addicted to anything if you're going to follow Jesus. No seas adicto a ninguna cosa si tú vas a seguir a Jesús. Porque afecta tu habilidad de seguirlo a Él. So, goes on here. What happens after that? Okay, I'm not addicted to wine. And he's nor pugnacious. He's not to be pugnacious. I didn't know what that meant for a long time. Y número, versículo 3, no solo, no dado a la bebida, pero no pendenciero. Pendenciero, ¿qué es eso? Pendenciero. No ser agresivo con la gente. He's not to be, pugnacious means not to be aggressive or a bully to people. Okay? Because some leaders, like in the military, the sergeant is a bully to his soldiers, right? To get them to do what he wants when he wants it immediately. He's got to be a bully. Yeah. And but in the church, it's different. He's not to be a bully, okay? In fact, he's going to tell us what he should be. Gentle. That's the next word. Not Ignatius, but gentle, okay? Because we're a family. And love is to rule. That should be the first practice and function in a relationship. Entonces, eso de ser pendiciero es que alguien que es agresivo, que gritón, que está intimidando a la persona para que haga lo que él quiere, como los sargentos, a los soldados, ¿verdad? Y no, hermanos, así no debe ser. Pero dice que debemos, en vez de ser eso, dice que debemos ser amable o manso, es otra palabra, con la gente. And it's a temptation, brothers, for leaders, sometimes, to get aggressive because they think it'll work better, it'll motivate people to do what they want them to do or needs to be done. But Jesus was never a bully to his disciples. He was never a bully. Yes, he would tell them when they had crossed the line and they were not doing things right. But he loved them. They always knew that. Jesús nunca fue agresivo con sus discípulos cuando ellos decían cosas que no estaban bien. Quiere Señor que baje fuego del cielo y queme esta ciudad samaritana. Y Jesús, no, ¿cómo así? No, no. Así, y los corrigió, ¿ya? Los corrigió, pero no fue agresivo con ellos. Siempre sabían que los amaba. So we need to understand that, brothers. A spiritual leader can't be, well, I can't imagine a pastor doing that, you might say. Yo no puedo imaginar que un pastor vaya a ser así, como nunca. Oh, yeah, I've seen it, and I've heard about it. Yo lo he visto y lo he oído de estas situaciones porque nunca hubieran sido ellos pastores. Yeah. They should never have been pastors. When my mom invited me to her church one day because she went to a Spanish church and I went to an English church. Come and visit our church, come and visit our church. Okay, but finally I went. Un día mi mamá me estaba invitando cada rato a que vaya a visitar su iglesia, pero yo estaba yendo a la mía y tenían servicios al mismo tiempo y no podía. Y un día dije, bueno, este es un servicio especial. Sí, voy a ir contigo, ma. And on that service, they were having a vote whether the pastor should stay or not. Y en ese servicio estaban teniendo una junta de negocio que si el pastor se queda o no se queda. And while they were, each was sharing up here, a fight broke out in the back of the church. Y mientras estaban discutiendo y compartiendo en frente, empezaron a pelearse allá atrás. And I turned around, me di la vuelta para ver quién era, you know? Y era el pastor peleando con un diácono. The pastor was fighting with the deacon, you know, duking it out back there. Oh boy. My mom was embarrassed. Mi mamá estaba bien avergonzada, ¿verdad? And then my brother-in-law also had an event where there was a elder meeting. Okay, all the elders were there, the pastor was y luego en una de las iglesias de mi cuñado, allá en Hawaii, tenían una junta de ancianos, tenían una junta sobre algo, and one of the deacons, one of the elders said something, and the pastor picked him up and threw him up against the wall and put his hand in his throat, you know. I don't know exactly what it was about, but he didn't like what he heard. Y en eso pasó que un anciano dijo una opinión, y el pastor agarró al anciano, lo pegó contra la pared, y lo tenía del cuello, con la mano. No le gustó algo que dijo. Oh, yeah, esos no deben ser pastores. They're not qualified to be pastors. Because it's very clear. Aquí está muy claro. Debe ser manso, amable. He's got to be gentle. So that's you, brother and sister, should be gentle, not a bully. Especially with your children, because they're going to learn it from you. No debe ser usted agresivo, especialmente con sus hijos, porque ellos de ahí van a aprender con otros niños, con su esposa, quizás. So, got to be gentle. Deben ser mansos. And then peaceable is the next one. He always looks for ways to keep the peace. Y el siguiente, no solo amable, pero también no contencioso, o es hacedor de paz. Siempre anda buscando la paz en las relaciones, en la iglesia, in the church. He's looking always to maintain the peace. He's a peacemaker. He doesn't take sides. Oh, yeah. No. he tries to bring people together. Trata de traer paz, no se pone a un lado y a pelear con el otro. No, trata de trayendo los dos juntos para que haya paz en la iglesia, en la casa, donde sea. And then he goes on, what else? Peacemaker, and then free from the love of money. Y también que no sea avaricioso, avaricioso. The love of money. Some pastors are stop preaching on sin because they don't want good givers to go away. Hay veces que ciertos pastores dejan de predicar sobre el pecado para que no se les vayan los que están dando buen dinero. Pues ahí se mira la avaricia. That's where the love of money is showing up. Well, it starts to show up before it even becomes, of course, takes a position of like this. How do you know that you love money? ¿Cómo sabes si tú amas el dinero? Are you generous? ¿Eres generoso? If you're not, well, you know, if you always say, well, that's what he deserves, you know, I ain't helping him. You start to, the little red light starts to go off saying, the love of money, the love of money. Cuidado, hermanos, que no tengan amor al dinero, que no tengan amor al dinero. So, what else does it say? The love of money. Verse 4, he must be one who manages his own household well. Versículo 4, que gobierne bien su casa, o que maneje bien su casa. So, he's got to make sure that in his house is running well. Not perfect, of course, right? Because you got kids. Never be perfect if you got kids when they're small. Que tiene que manejar bien su casa, pero no necesariamente que sea perfecta, pero que esté bien manejada, que hayan reglas, que las cosas vayan bien, que no sea un cochinero la casa. That your house is not a pigsty, okay? That clothes everywhere on the floor, okay? You got to make sure that it's running well, that it's taken care of. That there are rules and they're being followed. He manages his household well. Make sure things are well. You can tell. You go to a person's house and know, and we visit them. You know if this person has a problem with house management. Tú puedes visitar una casa y ahí está la evidencia si esta casa tiene un problema con manejar bien la casa. ¿Eh? Se mira la situación, ¿eh? De cómo se tratan unos a otros, que cómo está la condición de la casa, what's the condition of the home, how they treat one another. It's all evident. So that's very important, brothers. Manage your household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. And that's an important part of managing your house. Teniendo sus hijos sujetos con toda dignidad. Sus hijos bajo control. You got to make sure that the children are not the ones in control of your house and your marriage. You got to make sure, because then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Tú tienes que estar bajo control de tus hijos y no ellos sobre tu matrimonio y tu casa. No sean ellos que dirigen qué se va a hacer y cuándo. ¿Eh? Pero el líder de la casa, but the spiritual leader of the home is the one who is to make sure their children are under control. Does that mean his children are perfect? No. No quiere decir que sus hijos tienen que ser perfectos. No. Pero cuando él dice algo, que los niños obedezcan. But when he says, this is, you need to stop that, you need to do this, they listen. That means they're under control. If they're running around knocking over little old ladies in the church, and they're not being stopped, they're not under control. Y si están correteando en la iglesia y tumbando las ancianitas, los niños, pues no están bajo control los niños. No están bajo control. So, you got to make sure, brothers. That's an important part of being a spiritual leader. Now, verse 5, versículo 5. What does it say there? But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? That's a good question. Muy buena pregunta. El versículo 5 dice, pues si no, un hombre no sabe cómo gobernar su propia casa, ¿cómo podrá cuidar la iglesia de Dios? See, the church is a family too. La iglesia es una familia también. Y tenemos que cuidarla. We gotta, that's what it means to be able to control, to manage, is we take care of it. We take care of it. Cuidando la iglesia es como manejamos esta responsabilidad. Now, verse 6. Versículo 6. I'm going to move it up. Versículo 6. Not a new convert. Okay? Don't put people in leadership who just came to Jesus. Okay? Not even if they're 60 years old already. But they just came to Jesus. We don't put them in leadership yet. Okay? Entonces, versículo 6 dice, y no un recién convertido. No se pone en liderazgo un recién convertido, aunque tenga capacidad, aunque tenga ya quizás años, 70, 60 años. Este ya es líder, ya lo vamos a meter. No. They got to grow, brother, spiritually. Tienen que crecer espiritualmente y madurar and to mature. Okay? It takes time. It doesn't happen instantaneously. So don't put people who just came to Jesus last year into leadership, spiritual leadership. Don't put them. You're going to have problems. Because notice what it says there. Verse 6. So that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. They'll become conceited. ¿Qué pasa si lo metemos en liderazgo antes de mano? Dice, no sea que se envanezca la persona y caiga en la condenación en que cayó el diablo. I don't know if what Paul's saying, they put the devil in charge of the worship team in heaven way too soon. I don't know if that's what he means, but we know that he became conceited, okay, and eventually rebelled against God. Sabemos que el diablo dice que le pasó lo mismo, se envaneció allá en el cielo y quería él tomar control, quitar el control a Jesús o al Padre, a no sé, pero así es porque él cayó, ¿verdad? So, that's very important. Verse 7, el versículo 7. I better hurry up because we're going to cover this. Verse 7. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Y luego dicen el 7, no, y debe gozar también de una buena reputación entre los afuera de la iglesia para que no caiga en descrédito y en el lazo del diablo. Reputación afuera, muy importante. Outside reputation is important because you can be something out there and be a godly saint in here. Okay? So they got to match up. They got to match up. Tiene que ser igual, hermanos, adentro en la iglesia, como santito, igual afuera, hermanos, igual afuera. So that's the characteristics. Hopefully you got them all. If not, you can always go back to this passage and pull them out. Ojalá llenaron sus notas de eso. But I'm not even going into deacons because we covered that in March. We covered it in March. Cubrimos las características de los diáconos en marzo, hermanos. Y esas están del versículo 8 al 13. This is from verse 8 to 13. And I already put them in your notes for you. Ya los puse en sus notas, todas las características de los diáconos. It's almost exactly the same like the elders, except they don't have... Es casi igual a los ancianos, las características, pero no tienen que enseñar ellos. Simplemente servir a las necesidades de los hermanos, de la iglesia. Just serve to the needs of the church and help the leadership too, of course. Help the leadership get things done. So I'm jumping over to one that we haven't seen is deaconesses in verse 11. Y vamos a ver las diaconisas que están en el versículo 11. For some churches, this is controversial. They don't think there should be female deacons. But I think it's kind of clear, and in many churches it's very clear, that it's talking about women right in the middle of deacons. They stick the women in there. Because if you go verse 12 and 13, it's still talking about men. But to put the women in the middle. Y ahí está muy bien, hermanos. Muchas iglesias no creen que las mujeres deben ser diaconisas, pero está muy claro cómo está en el contexto las mujeres en el puro medio de la descripción de los diáconos. So it says, women must likewise be dignified. Dignified, that's the first one. El primero, dignas, conduciéndose dignas de respeto, me imagino es lo que dice. Not malicious gossips, no andan de chismosas en la iglesia. Las chismosas no van a ser diaconisas, okay? Because they gotta grow, okay? Tienen que madurarse todavía, ¿verdad? Si andan todavía con chismes. And number 3, temperate. También moderadas, sobrias, no andan tomando, ¿verdad? They're not drinking and tipsy and blasted or anything like that, okay? And number 4, they're faithful in all things. Y son fieles en todas. How do we know? Well, we observe them. We observe them. Se les observó que son fieles en todo lo que hacen. Si le pide, oye, hermano, ¿puedo ayudar con eso? Sí, lo hago. Y ahí va a estar, fíjate, y lo va a hacer. Oh, sí, lo va a hacer. Y no viene. Y ni siquiera se acordó. Ah, pues, quizás no es tan fiel. So if you ask them, you know, hey, could you help out with this? We really need help. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And she comes... And she's consistent, she's doing that, then she's faithful in whatever's being asked of her to help, but if she says she will and she doesn't, then that's not completely faithful, right? So, very important, very important. So, and now, quickly, look at the exhortation that Peter has for all spiritual leaders, okay? Vamos a ver la exhortación de Pedro, que le hace a todos los líderes espirituales, específicamente los ancianos, specifically the pastors of the churches, and he had something to say to them because he'd been talking about how the church should trust the Lord during times of persecution and suffering. And so he's going to show the leadership how to help the church through times of difficulty and persecution and suffering. So if you're going to become an elder in this church, we got to help the brothers and sisters during their difficult times, especially in the end times. Y el contexto es que le está enseñando a los pastores cómo dirigir a la iglesia en tiempos de sufrimiento conforme a la voluntad de Dios. Cuando Dios permite el sufrimiento y cómo los líderes pueden ayudar a la iglesia. So let's look at what it says here, starting in verse 1, mirando el versículo 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, spiritual leaders. Okay? Por eso dice, por tanto, a los ancianos... entre vosotros exhorto yo, dice Pedro, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ. Dice, anciano, dice, como ellos, anciano como ellos y testigo de los padecimientos de Cristo. So what he's saying is, Peter's saying, I'm an elder too. Pedro está diciendo, yo soy anciano también, así como ustedes. So we're in good company for those of us who are elders. Elders, because Peter was an elder. Entonces estamos de buen... En buen partido, todos los que somos, vamos a ser ancianos un día, porque Pedro era anciano también. Except he got to see the sufferings of Christ. Pero a él le tocó ver los padecimientos de Cristo, los sufrimientos de Cristo en la cruz. When he was on the cross, he got to see that. He knows what suffering's about. Él sabe de qué es el sufrimiento. And so, let's keep on reading. He goes on to say... And a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Y también dice, y también participante de la gloria que se ha de ser revelada. He got to see Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw his glory. Vio también la transfiguración de Cristo sobre en el monte cuando vio cómo iba a ser la gloria que iba a venir, ¿verdad? So let's go to verse 2. What's he say to them? Shepherd the flock of God among you. Y les dice entonces, pastoread el rebaño de Dios entre vosotros. That's the job of an elder, is to shepherd, is to lead the congregation to so that they're fed, okay, and watered, and they're given direction from the word, okay, of God's will. And know the difference between right and wrong. Entonces, cuando estamos pastoreando, dice pastorear al rebaño, lo que hace es lleva el rebaño, tiene que llevarla al agua de la palabra, llevarlos al pasto donde puedan comer, llevarlos, dirigirlos por áreas seguras y no peligrosas. Y eso es lo que está ocurriendo en la iglesia. So that's our job, esa es nuestra responsabilidad. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion. Y luego ejercita, ¿qué dice aquí? Y velad por ella, o ejercita y vela por ella. Quiere decir, ponle los ojos, que todo vaya bien. So you got to put your eyes over the church so that everything's functioning as it should and they're not going towards danger and things like that. There has to be an oversight, okay? We're not being asleep, okay? Y no estar dormidos. And not under compulsion, y no obligatoriamente, dice aquí, no bajo obligación, but voluntarily according to the will of God, pero sino voluntariamente como quiere Dios, como quiere Dios. And not for sordid gain, okay? y no por la avaricia, dice Pedro, la avaricia que del dinero. Don't be preaching to get more money. Some pastors wait at the end to pass the plate around, at the end of the sermon. And then they pass the plate because he's hoping that his efforts would spur people to open wider their wallets and their purses. And that's not what it's all about. Tenemos que tener cuidado que no estemos en el liderazgo para recibir las ofrendas del Señor para nosotros. Es para el reino de Dios. This is for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. You ever want to ask, how is it that I get paid? Ask my wife. Eventually, it'll be the officers of the church, we're going to vote on them. Ask them how that works, okay? I don't decide that. Yo no decido las finanzas de la iglesia. Gracias a Dios. No tengo esa tentación, ¿verdad? So, not for sort of gain, but eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your church. That's very important. Versículo 3, tampoco como teniendo señorío sobre los que os han sido confiados. Lording it over means I have the authority to control your life attitude. Eso de señorear sobre otros es creer que el pastor mismo, él tiene la autoridad de controlar tu vida. Eso es el señorío. Y dice que no debemos ser, we're not to be that, we're to be an example. Y debemos ser un ejemplo nosotros, no ser agresivos y hacer lo que hagan todo lo que yo quiero. I'm not to be a bully and making people do everything I want them to do. But I should encourage them and remind them, the Lord is the Lord, not me, over your life. El Señor, Dios Todopoderoso, es el Señor de tu vida, no yo. Obedécelo, confía en Él, síguelo. Obey Him, follow Him, trust Him. Follow my example y sigue mi ejemplo. Sigue mi ejemplo. And then, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. There's the promise. Y la promesa del versículo 4, cuando aparezca el príncipe de los pastores, recibiréis la corona inmarcedible de gloria. Inmarcedible, que dice que no disminuye la gloria de esa corona. So that's it, brothers. That's it. And hopefully God will bless our coming leaders. God will use them mightily. Ese es el mensaje y ojalá conforme a la voluntad de Dios bendiga a los líderes que van a subir para dirigir nuestra iglesia. Let us all stand. Vamos a ponernos de pie. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us. Thank you for letting us know, Lord, what is required of someone you can trust, Lord, with your flock. Someone you can use. Someone who most likely will do a job, Lord, that you can one day say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we ask, Lord, your blessing on our coming meeting that we're going to have so that we can vote for these special people, Lord, that we want to appoint. Gracias, Señor, que nos acuerdas de qué son las características que tú quieres en nosotros, Señor. Y también especialmente los líderes, Señor, que para que hagan una obra, Señor, apropiada y conforme a tu voluntad. Bendice, Señor, la junta que viene. Y que podamos, Señor, agradarte con los líderes que queremos aprobar. En el nombre de Jesús. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. So what we're going to do, we're kind of